This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us here in a moment. Get into the Leaf loss last night. They got two games this weekend. They're at Ottawa tomorrow night, at Buffalo on Sunday.
I just got to touch on Cynthia's comments. Like, you get the hotel for your wife when you have to say, okay, when's my day?
Well, maybe she's going to get the hotel for you. Like, yeah. That's what Cynthia was saying.
When's my day? What, do you saying just get the hotel?
It goes both ways. She even admitted that. It goes both ways. You know, the IOU booklet and all of that. I think it goes both ways. Wouldn't want it, though. I don't care.
That's the thing, man. I got a good thing going here. Like, my wife is not interested. Now, maybe I'm just misreading the whole situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there is real potential
for watching that. This on TV and going to scissor kick you when you get home.
Right. And maybe that is a part of the issue, that I'm picking up on the wrong signs here. I need someone in the dugout, like, smashing garbage cans, letting me know what's working and what isn't working.
I couldn't wait to hear what you guys had to say about that gong show.
How about that gong show yesterday?
By the way, instead of a hotel, you just say to your wife, look, you pick a friend, I'll send you to Florida for a weekend. There you go.
Well,
whenever I want to go golfing with my buddies, don't say a word. Do not say
one. Yeah, but I think the whole point is not to speak on behalf of women here, because I can't.
Right.
We go golfing and we go on these trips all the time.
So yeah,
but
it's just
whatever.
Probably doing something out of your realm of expectation.
Right.
That's probably what the
I think that's what Cynthia was trying to portray.
Step outside your wheelhouse, which you know, I rarely do. So,
all right, there we go. We learned something this afternoon. We all learned something this afternoon.
I could get some Rage Against the Machine.
I didn't learn anything.
Tickets.
She's
did
a nice
see
lady.
That back, did you see that you're back on tour?
What happened there? Like, they.
Well, that lead singer is, like, he's gone.
Were they looking for money now?
No. I think they were one of the biggest bands in the world, and that lead singer just disappeared.
Well, because like, he was an advocate for a number of different causes and all that.
Doing.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, Rage Against the Machine, my understanding is their whole image was anti-establishment. We're going to do our own thing.
Now the tickets are, like, the most expensive
tickets. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I'm going.
Are they? Yeah. Like, I don't know their whole catalog. I can't pretend to be like a diehard Rage Against the Machine fan, but I know some of their stuff.
Well, yeah, it's heavy, but I guarantee you the guy behind the glass, Malls, is going to go to a Rage concert. No, is that not your?
Are they playing in Oshawa?
I would, but they're pretty pricey, yeah. I did not get them.
I thought I read an article, or I saw an article anyway, that like they're basically selling out here.
Oh, yeah. It's
like
all cash.
Figuratively. It's not like all of a sudden it's not about the message anymore. They're like, yeah, we just want the money.
Yeah, nosebleed seats are like $280.
Yeah,
something
exactly.
Ridiculous. Like,
which is fine. Go ahead. But don't then the next day try to sell me on some heroic cause that you're all about.
Yeah, no, this is.
Or you're about the people or whatever.
No, I guarantee you they woke up one day and were like, we should have cashed in when we had the opportunity. And now we are going to.
Right.
And that's what they're going to do on this tour, is make a boatload of money, and I'm going to see them somewhere along the way.
Okay.
That could be my Valentine gift.
That would be. All right. Hopefully Steph is listening and can hook it up.
Tickets to Rage.
We had Connor Brown on in the past hour, and like, we haven't talked a lot about this because it doesn't really matter that much, and it's not overly surprising, but the tickets have not been selling out in Ottawa, to put it lightly.
Yeah.
There's been some seats available.
Yeah.
But I would expect a full house tomorrow night. And I would expect a full house in Buffalo on Sunday. Like, it's kind of a rarity where the Leafs are.
That's a good weekend road trip for anybody.
Be great.
Families, everybody. You take the road trip down to Ottawa, and then you go right across the border, go to Buffalo.
That'd be great.
Is there somebody that. I bet you there's people out there that are doing both.
Absolutely. Because they could probably do both games for the price of one.
Oh, even less.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, gas money, and if you're staying in a hotel and all that.
People are like, you know what? Let's go on a road trip.
That probably is a Valentine weekend for a couple.
Yeah,
for
sure.
We're going to go to Ottawa tonight or tomorrow night, and we're going to Buffalo or spend in Ottawa and drive right to.
That'd be a cool roadie, man. I mean, it's a quick turnaround.
It is.
And Ottawa to Buffalo is probably 5.5 hours or so, but hey, you get
Wake
a couple of wins.
Early, have a like just a bang up night, get up early, into Buffalo for a nap, check in, and you get right back on the horse.
Pints and wings.
I mean right back.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Not much, you know. Trying to come up with something interesting, not much.
Okay.
Just bought a Valentine's Day card because I just realized it's Valentine's Day.
There you go. We just got some great advice, our last guest, on how to deal with that. So at least you're ahead of the curve. You're going to come home with something.
Yeah, it was not one of my most well-planned-out Valentine's Days, I got to say that. Although I will say, I'm not so sure that I got anything either because I haven't gotten anything yet, so who knows?
Yeah, that's kind of was a part of the conversation we just had where, you know, there was a lot of reflection, I think, in the room. The boys were looking in the mirror and we're like, okay, what can we do a little bit differently? And we went around the table and we're like, well, are we expecting anything when we get home?
No.
And I don't think so.
No, I'm not.
So that's fine. You know, we'll enjoy each other's company. What's wrong with that?
If you're in a loud house,
what a great idea.
You could ask for peace and quiet. That's what you would like.
That would be great.
Good luck with that. Yeah, good luck.
I got a buddy who, for every Father's Day, he asks that his gift is that everyone leaves the house so he can watch the U.S. Open Sunday final by himself.
I love it. That is perfect. Especially if you can mix in 18.
Phenomenal. He's like, yeah, he's like, I don't need anything else. Just could you guys, like, go somewhere?
Just leave for one day.
It's the ultimate prize. Like, it's actually the ultimate showing of love and care.
And respect.
And respect.
Sunday, Augusta, Sunday of a major in golf, I just say to my kids, you're not going to believe how long I'm going to sit in front of the TV today. But it's probably going to be somewhere around 10 to 12 hours straight. And they're like, for what? I'm like, a golf tournament, and they just can't come to grips with it.
No.
I says, four times a year, just leave it to me, and I literally will buy you whatever you want on this particular day.
Yep. That sounds about right. And, you know, three of the four, you can't really play with the British. You could play after, but if you mix in 18 in the morning
and then couch time. Oh.
That's a lottery win.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's a Valentine's Day gift right there. Mark it in your calendar. 18 and then 18 hours of golf coverage. Anyway, the Leafs losing last night, and we brought up the stats. Like, you know, we were talking about this yesterday with you, Ray. I kind of look at it as a coin flip, and it's not based on one game. You know, it's for me, it's based on the 58 games they played this year, on whether or not they're going to get in. They've been kind of kicking the can a little bit recently. Florida doing the same thing. It's like neither team really wants to take the bull by the horns. But I went back and looked over their 58-game sched, throwing out their best 10-game stretch, which was a 9-0-1 stretch, and throwing out their worst 10-game stretch, which was a 3-5-2 run. The remaining 38 games, the Leafs are 18-15-5. So just kind of there. You know, just okay. And I kind of felt the same way watching the game last night. I thought they played pretty well, but couldn't get the win. And one more game, you scratch off the list, and you just continue to grind and hope that something allows them to snap out of it. And they go on a heater, and they find a way to backdoor their way into the playoffs.
Except one of the reasons I think they're going to make it is that I think Florida does the same thing. Like, I don't see them all of a sudden becoming this team that overtakes third place in the division, and the Leafs are out of the wild card by that time. And, you know, like, I don't see it with Florida. Now, maybe Florida adds a defenseman at the deadline or something that makes them better there, and maybe Bobrovsky turns into some semblance of the guy he's been for the last few years because he's been no good, right? Like, but otherwise, they're not. There's no one else to lose a playoff spot to.
Right, yeah. Between those two, yeah.
Right, like if you don't get third, I mean, these guys have played themselves into hot water in the wild card,
mm-hmm.
like both Florida and Toronto.
Yeah.
But I think Toronto will finish in front of Florida, just because I don't really see Florida, you know, putting it all together. I don't know what's happened. You know, Noodles, maybe you do with Bobrovsky, but. Holy smokes, man. Like, their defense isn't good enough to make up for the infrequency of him stopping the puck.
You know, the one thing I've noticed in his game in the last couple of weeks, like he was brilliant against the Leafs. I thought he got him the 2 points that night, and then he got him a point the next night in Columbus.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He was awesome that little stretch, and there's been times where I thought his game was coming out of him. The one thing I've noticed about Bobrovsky, which I haven't seen in past years, is his rebound control. He gave up two awful rebounds last night that cost them goals, and you can have help from your D. Like, that's the truth. Your D can help you out if they're in the right position to move the pucks out. But he got beat on, I think it was a right-handed shot come down the wall last night, short side shelf. Terrible goal. And to me, it's just back-breaking goals at the wrong time. We see it throughout the league, regardless if it's Bobrovsky. We saw Hutchinson against the Rangers. Like, goaltenders are going to allow goals, but it's the timing of them that kills your team. Last night, Florida could have been in that game, but they were chasing it afterwards, and that was it. And then
Philly just poured it on. Well, it's the same thing here in Toronto. Dallas scored on the first shot of every period.
Yeah.
The first shot.
It's deflating.
Of every period.
Rushing.
And, you know, that's going to determine a lot too, right? You can isolate those two guys, Bobrovsky and Anderson. Who can give you better numbers between now and the end of the year?
Right. You're right. Like, it could... I guess it's the most important position. We talk about it so much, but
right.
I don't see. I guess the numbers are telling us that Freddie's been inconsistent and up and down. I just always seem to think of him as way more solid than his numbers are telling us that he is. Right, and maybe the way that he's played is not what I have in my head. Bobrovsky, since the minute he stepped in Florida, has not been good. And had he been just the league average, Florida's not in the spot they're in. And then I look at their team, and the other day they've got a fourth line of Mark Pesek and Mike Matheson and Noel Acciari. And I'm like, well, how can that work? They got eight defensemen dressed, and then both defensemen scored.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even get their lineup, really.
Yeah, it is weird.
But yet, like, they're third in scoring in the league.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
they can't score. They can't defend.
And if they can't defend, then it's all on the goalie. And, oh, boy, that's just...
Well, that's
not been good.
You're right. Like, Freddie, if you look at it, he's a pretty consistent goaltender as far as the way he makes saves, his style. But that, it does speak to the Leafs in their own end as well. Like, it's not a secret. We've been talking about it since we've been... Complains about it once a week. Like, how long have we been talking about the Leafs in their own end? And to me, your goaltender has to be your best player to mask some of that issues. And if he's average or less, you give up goals.
They've been poor in their own end since I started working here. That was back in the Phil and Dion days. Like, that's every year we're like, they're not very good in their own end. Like, they give up chances. They do this. They do that.
Well, what do you make of, Muzzin's deal? It sounds like it's real close. You know, they just got to push it over the finish line, but a lot of people projecting somewhere around 4 years, maybe 5.5 per. What do you make of that, Ray?
Well, I guess I look at it that if you don't have him, if you don't sign him, then you've got to go find somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go find Jake Muzzin and hope that you could pay him a little bit less. Because quality defensemen are going to cost you $5 million. That's what it seems like anyway. So if you have Riley at 5 and him at 5.5, you got Hall at 2, it's 12. Sandin's under $1 million, that's 13. You know, now you got Dermott and Liljegren that don't make much money. Then you can try and take a bigger swing at a right D guy, which is what they're going to have to do. Like, it would seem to me that the one guy that's out there at this time that's a free agent is Pietrangelo. Right?
Yeah.
He's not signed in St. Louis. And
right.
I don't know if St. Louis can get his contract done. I don't know if, what the unfortunate circumstances around Jay Bouwmeester, I don't know if that changes any. Like, I don't know, but...
I don't understand that one, Ray. Like they brought in Falk. Like is that a backup plan? For
I think
Petr
that was
Angelo?
A bridge. Yeah, to me that sound that reeked of like know, if they can't
leave,
get it.
You could
sorted.
Leave Falk in Carolina and get the Petrangelo done because Petrangelo is going to say if I want a deal, it's the Yossi deal, and that's the only deal I'm signing.
Yeah, as he should.
As he should.
Yeah. As he should.
But like Ray just said though, regardless of how you look at it, the Jay Bouwmeester situation may have just opened the door for them to give him that money. Ultimately.
Right, if Bouwmeester doesn't play again.
Right. Isn't Jay only making a 2.5 or something?
Well, I thought he
three,
was a little...
Three, I think.
You thought he was 3-something. Yeah, 3.5. But yeah, but it's still... That's,
so that frees up another $3.5 million on your cap. And
exactly.
But who else is there? Like, I don't know offhand, and it's unfair to ask right now. Like, but which other right-handed D are going to pop up in free agency unless you go the trade route and you get into trying to wedge out Matt Dumba or somebody like that?
Well, that's where it gets interesting here. If Muzzin re-signs, you've got Riley here for 2 more years. You've got Sandin who's going to play, and you've got Dermott. So you got 4 guys who shoot left. So either one of them is going to play on the right side,
well,
or one
would,
of them's going.
You know which player. You know which player becomes expendable in that scenario.
I would say
that's Dermott.
Dermott,
right?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, for sure.
I would think so too.
But you know, you look at it like. Maybe on a lesser extent, like Hamonic is an unrestricted free agent. TJ Brody's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Like there are players out there that they can eye that can play top 4 minutes. I don't know what their price points would be given the market, but you know, I the biggest worry for me right now is are they going to try or are they going to go into the playoffs with this group here? And Morgan Riley looks to be.
End of March.
So we're talking April. Let's just say April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that the group that they're going with? Or are they going to me, I think Kyle still has to be hunting here. Don't you think?
Well, again, it will be determined based on how he really feels about the team. You know, like, how good do you think this team is? So, like, the difference between a rental and a trade. Like, if you acquire Dumba, and I know his name is out there and all
right,
that.
Right.
That's a deal. If you make today, you make it the draft, you make it August, it's all the same. It's a
correct
trade for a young guy on term for the future. And
right.
But if we're talking about just plugging holes because Johnson's now out for the rest of the year, and who knows what you're going to get when Riley returns, then you start getting into trading picks and prospects, and I think they got to be really careful with that. Like, for just a 15-game stretch and maybe into the playoffs for a round or two? I mean, how much are you willing to pay for that?
I guess, like, that's where, you know, these deals get made and picks get thrown in. And maybe in the last few years we've started to pay more attention to them. But, like, you say, oh, we got this player, and, yeah, but we only gave up a couple picks. Now, when we can track the picks better, you go, oh, that second-round pick turned out to be that guy. And
right.
You're like, ooh, boy. And managers, I think, are probably a little more gun-shy of, you know, taking a full swing at a trade now when they are so tied, much more tied to their draft picks than they've ever been.
What about a guy like Vatanen, who's unrestricted? And, like, you know, to me, he's a bit of a riverboat gambler.
He's kind of like Barry,
he's
basically.
The last thing you need.
But he is a proven NHL player, puck-moving defenseman that if they're going to play with this style, regardless if you like it or not, if that's the style that they would like, a puck possession, circle back, have a guy advance the puck. And
I think that's the last thing they need. They got enough of that.
Well, okay, but would you, based on if I just had to ask the question to the three of you now, would you want to go into the playoffs adding Vatanen to that group or go with that group based on what you had to pay for that? Because like I can't see him being massively expensive at the deadline.
I would rather tell Buffalo to eat a bunch of Bogosian's money and take a sniff on him.
If Bogosian's healthy, that's my biggest worry. Like, I like him, and he's a heavy player, and he can, you know, I think he can give you minutes. But when's the last time you, Ray? You do a lot of games. I do a lot of games. Like, I've never seen him healthy.
Lineup, yeah,
like he's really had health issues throughout his whole career, going back to Atlanta when he was playing there.
When he hurt his hip a few years ago, I mean that was just one more thing to it. Now he went in the same draft as Drew Doughty, and I heard this great story about, you know, Zach was doing the Wingate test. And so remember that hell test. And they've got guys holding the bike down while the player's just all his power. He's pedaling away. And one of the members of the Kings organization that was there said, man, I hope we got this right, because look at that beast on the bike, and there's our guy over in the corner. And it was cruising over there.
That sounds about right. And they got it right.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, he. That's exactly what Bogosian would be, like a combine player. Like the NFL is most famous for it. Guys show up. You watch the game tape. You're like, that guy doesn't know how to play football. Like, look at him. He can't catch a ball. He can't run a route. But he runs like a 4.35 40.
Yeah.
There's 40 reps on the bench, and they're like, I'm taking him in the second round. Like, wow. I have to.
But you know what? I look like Robin Regier was like that, but Regier could play.
Could play. If you can find the but both of them,
that's
you're
the thing.
Set,
like, Regier would do those wind gates. You know, what are you supposed to usually do? They say it's about 2.5 minutes on those wind gates. You know, when
which
they,
is like a bike, right?
Yeah, it's a bike, but they drop the weight on it, and it's ridiculous.
It's murder. Yeah.
He would ride for almost 5 minutes and then quit. Like, that's how ridiculously gross it was. Like, I would struggle to get to 230, maybe 218, 222. Like, Regier would quit at 5 minutes. Like, just get off.
Yeah, that's so annoying. That's just natural ability.
Like, freakish ability. And that's, to me, that's what Bogosian has, is that type of ridiculous strength. Which something, I mean, you know, Muzzin is a different type of player, but Muzzin is one of the only D in the Leafs organization that has some bite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get the one thing that every team, it's not Toronto, it's every team, they get into a player of Muzzin's age, and the question always has to be, so if it's 5 years, now he's 35 or almost 36, right? When that deal goes.
Right.
Like, you know, like, it,
there's
but
a gamble
if you don't
there.
Sign him, yeah, then you don't sign him, now you got to go find somebody, and who are you going to find, and is he going to be as good? Well, maybe he's a little cheaper, but if he's nowhere near as good, then we'll just pay him the fifth year, right? Like, it's a tough, tough deal when you get towards 30 and the end of these contracts.
There isn't much of a debate on Zach Kassian and the idiocy of what took place in Tampa last night.
What the hell was he thinking?
There's nothing to say.
That would be the basis of my suspension. You're getting 5 to 7 games for being an idiot. That was ridiculous.
Yeah,
he's got no case. None. Like, he kicked a guy in the chest with his blade. It's a Happy Gilmore move.
Yeah, it's indefensible in the sense that you can't rationalize it. Like, even in emotion, all of that. I saw his comments after the game. The guy was holding his foot. He was just trying to kick it loose or whatever. Yeah, the optimal word, kick it. You know, kicking it loose. Like, you can't do it. He's going to get a big number because, Ray, you know, I saw you on Twitter, but also, like, he's a repeat offender. He just went through a suspension.
And he had people sympathizing for him, though.
Well, and that
to an extent. And now people are like, okay,
no,
here we go again.
That's not the case on this one, yeah.
Same old Zach Kassian.
It's a tough one.
Well, there's two things here. Like, one is, you know, there's a lot of blowback about, well, why should he get suspended hard? Chara only got $5,000 fines for cross-checking Gallagher in the throat. Well, that's
two different things.
My biggest problem. Two completely different things. And one, just because they screwed up with the Chara thing, like that, we talked yesterday on that. That's how it's not a suspension. I don't get it. But this, if they come out and suspend him for 3 games, like, how ludicrous is that?
Oh,
kick the guy.
He's got an in person. I think it's going to be minimum 6, like, 5 or 6 for sure. Like,
yeah. See, Noodles, I think it's got to be more.
Well, I'm saying minimum, though. Like, Hayes said he wouldn't be shocked if they just said it's a dime and try and convince me otherwise.
That's how I would approach it with all these. I would make it standardized in the rule book. You kick someone, you get 10 games, and you can fly to New York and try to convince me that it should be 5 or 7 or 8. If you spit on someone, it's 10. Use a racial slur, 10. Like, I would just write them all in, because there's never any excuse for it. Like, there's none. And I know people always say, well, it's not like it's some, you know, epidemic or this big problem. So what? Yeah, because it's so stupid. 99.9% of players would never do it. So just hammer it and see you later.
Right. It's like it's an easy one. You're right, Brian.
Yeah.
Like, when's the last time we saw this? I saw somebody post one. Skinner got a couple of games a few years ago. Drakes had posted that.
Right.
But I don't even really remember that play, and I don't remember this. Like, no. I don't remember somebody doing this kind of thing since Chris Simon way back in the day.
Well, and with McDavid out, you know, Cassian is a guy playing in the top six and has had a very good year. In Edmonton,
got himself a new contract.
Right.
Yeah, he hasn't been good since the contract came, but he did play well their first game. McDavid was out. He got an assist on Sheehan's goal and looked pretty good, but you make a play like that, you know, to your point, Brian, like, regardless of if he's producing or not, it's another top six player out for Edmonton.
You need him.
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't heard anything on McDavid. It's been, how many days now? 5-6 days, and... Not that we're expecting it to necessarily happen by this weekend.
You're not going
to
hear anything either. He's locked down.
Kind of sounds like
he's just going to show up one day.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that's what's
going to happen. You guys might know first when he brings his MRI in for Oda Reed.
Yeah, we're still waiting on that. What happened with that?
Oh, you're the guy that knows all the MRIs. You apparently knew all the people that they were associated with.
Yeah, that's right. I got a connection in the MRI community. That's where I get my scoops.
Dr. Hayes.
Completely useless scoops, but I have them.
I think what's going to happen is, like, McDavid's going to come into the studio. His hair's going to be all over the place because he's just so nervous, and he's going to say, "Oh, give me the goods. Can I play?" And O's going to read the MRI and give him the word.
Yeah.
The touch of God. Just touch his knee, and he'll be fine.
That's right.
The specialist himself, the O-Dog. All right, buddy. Well, good luck with the Valentine stuff tonight.
Yeah, I got to go. I see Cammy's not home, so I got to go write this card out before she gets here.
Oh, good plan.
Just sign it, Ray Ferraro, and your number.
That would be awesome. Give her my autograph. Best wishes.
Yeah.
The beauty of that is Cammy could respond with one.
Yeah, exactly.
And be like, how about Hall of Famer?
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, she puts HOF, and you better throw yours in the garbage quickly.
Yeah, my card's got HOF and her gold medal on it. Beat it, pal.
She's see you later.
Off I am.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it. We'll do it Monday at 5.
Yeah, talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend, guys.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota fall in love with your car again with rates as low as 0% at Maple Toyota right next to Canada's Wonderland. Marcus Stroman, always confident in Toronto. He's in a new market, new spring training facility, very similar messaging. We'll let you hear that next. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs taking on Pittsburgh February 21st, and all week long we have been providing daily clues to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. Today you will hear your final clue, and then the phone lines will be open. The final clue: this former Leaf currently works as a hockey analyst and on a radio show here in Toronto.
Oh, yes! Wow.
Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050. 1050.
Although I think there was one clue wrong. You said 520 goal seasons. I only had 4.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure you had 5.
Exactly
20 was one of them. So I think that counts. Anyways, I got phones to answer.
Dude, you missed up.
Did you mess up
trivia
your own,
yesterday?
Like, yeah, how did somebody sent me a note said, "Oh, dog, like actually
well, this
didn't
loser
even know.
Here." He goes, "I'll come up with a trivia question for me and Jonas." I'm like. I'm like, I don't know one. So I'm like, what's my second highest goal total?
Yeah, what's wrong with that? But you didn't
there's
even know
41
it.
And then what, 34?
All right, here's a trivia question. For
31.
Me, okay?
31.
Yeah,
here's
okay.
a trivia question.
All right.
In Orlando back in the day, someone went into the Chicago Bulls dressing room and they stole Michael Jordan's jersey. Do you know what number he had to wear with no name on the back that game?
Yes, I do.
No,
I don't.
You don't.
Yeah, I do.
I don't.
Yeah, because you saw it on Twitter today.
12.
Yes.
He wore number 12.
You saw
he wore
the
number
same
12.
Tweet I saw.
I saw the exact same thing. I wasn't aware of that story.
I didn't know that.
Turns out, did you read it? Because some guy went Mission Impossible from the ceiling into the room to steal the 23 and went right back into
come
the
on.
That's
on.
The belief. That's
that
the belief.
That is unreal.
And he had to wear number 12
with
like
no
a
name.
Pigeon with no name for one game.
I respect
couldn't
that,
couldn't you
though.
Send the guy to Walmart or something and get a Jordan jersey?
Right.
Why don't you ask somebody from the stands? I think that'd be cooler.
Someone Theo would definitely Fleury have did it. That.
Guaranteed, there would have been somebody with a Jordan jersey.
Theo
on. Fleury be like,
did that in Calgary.
Jordan's going to wear that jersey.
You're right.
And he'll sign it afterwards and hand it back to you.
You're right. That'd be so cool.
Like, I think that could be the play in the future. You want to talk about fan-friendly experiences? And I know the league has a contract to have the jerseys worn and all of that. There's chips in them. Could you imagine if Austin Matthews tomorrow night in Ottawa, there's a blue jersey 34, and he goes, give me that. I'll wear that tonight.
That's jersey guy's
dream.
Dream come true.
Yeah.
Like, I have a belief, like, in the back of every jersey guy's mind, there's a chance that player is going to say, I need to meet you, or I need to wear the jersey that you're currently wearing.
Your jersey
tonight.
Guy never thinks like
jersey
that.
Jersey guy thinks like
no,
that.
No, glove guy at baseball, at the baseball game, thinks he's getting the pop fly.
Well, always. Yeah. Like, and there's video out there of baseball, like, glove guy actually getting the ball hit towards him, which is a rarity.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how often do fly balls or, you know.
And then dropping it.
And then actually dropping it. Having a glove and, like, putting it out there and it flops off the glove and hits someone in the back of the head. It's so embarrassing. Yeah. If you wear a glove to a game.
And you drop. If you drop the ball.
It's coming right at you.
It should kick you out.
You should be banned for life from baseball. Are you looking at your stats? You got five. Yeah. So you've messed up on two of your own trivia questions in the past 24 hours.
Actually, to be honest, I don't even. I've looked at my hockey DB. I know it's long and kind of all over the map, but I know I played like 250 games or something like that, but I couldn't tell you like statistically every season.
Sure.
I knew I had one that was I had a really good statistical season.
I needed four more points. What did I end up with?
You had 496.
So yeah, like 500 is so much better.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah, the 500 club. How many players in NHL history?
Who cares?
Do you think
not
have
a lot.
Well, like, how many do you think?
I don't know. 5,000.
No, not that many.
Dude, there hasn't even been 5,000 players in the history of the game.
Well, I think there has been.
5,000? I don't think so.
Are you on drugs, dude?
I don't think so.
There's 700 and
there's 700 players every year.
All right, look it up. Look
it
up.
There's been 5,
I'm not sure there's been more than 5,000.
Dude, I think there's 100,000.
No, there were six teams for the first 50 years.
Yeah, you're right.
Years.
But you're right.
Dude, there's been 100,000 players.
No.
Not even close to 100,000.
I think it would be somewhere between 5 and 10,000 players that have played in the National Hockey League.
Okay.
Total, all-time, history all time. Of the game?
I'll say under 5 grand.
I'm saying 300,000.
No.
So you went from
the game's been around since 1900.
Yeah, what's your point?
I don't get it. There's a new players every year.
No, there isn't. A lot of guys stick around for a long time.
I would argue that.
Okay, the grappler's got the number. So let's go around the table.
No, yeah, what do you guys think the number is?
I think it's between 5 and 10,000. Like,
I think it's
like 120,000.
I'm saying under 5,000. That's all I'm saying.
120,000.
And this is 500 career points?
No.
Oh.
This amount of players who ever played in the National Hockey League.
Yes. I think 120,000.
I'll be back. Yeah, try to find that out, grappler.
No, I think it's closer to 10,000 of players.
The game's been around since 1901.
If you play one game, you count.
Right.
Right? So if you play one game, I'm still saying under 5 grand.
No way.
Yeah.
Dude, are you on drugs? You're being stupid.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you.
I mean, you're right.
It's 120,000
whatever,
min.
10, 13 years, whatever.
I'm telling you, man.
So I would count as one of the 700 that year. But
dude, me and him have had 5,000 different teammates.
Yeah.
Well, I've had a lot.
Yeah.
No, I've had more than you.
I'm telling you, man. I think it's going to be less than 5 grand. I could be wrong. We'll see. Yeah, it's not 120,000.
No, it's not at all. I think it's between 7,500.
Let this man. Right. This man apparently has an answer.
Do you have an answer? This is total players all time.
Total players all time, and this is from about a year ago. It says 7,051 skaters, 797 goalies.
So I said 7,500. I'm the closest.
I have
right.
no idea but 8, how it's not more. I have no idea.
Yeah. So I was off, but not off by 90,000 or more.
He was off by 112,000.
Yeah. That's confidence. You have confidence in your answers. I'll give you that. You want to hear from Marcus Stroman?
Yes. Another guy who has confidence.
Well, he's bringing his act on the road. This is perfect for him because he kind of ran out of material in Toronto, right? Like after a while, it was like, all right, Marcus, we get it. You think you're Clayton Kershaw and Justin Verlander combined, you know? Yeah. So he's got a new media. He's got a new spring training facility, a new fan base.
Yeah.
So he's playing all his old hits.
Let
you want to hear from Marcus Stroman?
He's got a new YouTube channel, too.
Listen to what Stroman had to say about his current status going into a new baseball season.
To be honest with you, my confidence never wavers, ever. I think I'm the best on the field whenever I'm out there, always. That's how I was raised from my father, and that's how I'll continue to be. So confidence stays the same no matter what. It's just a different league, different lineups, different hitters. I'm excited for this year. I think I'm going to be good, really good. I think I should be dominant. I put in a lot of work in the offseason, and my stuff's moving all over the place. So I'm excited to go out there and compete with the team that we have, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, he went on to say he thinks he's got the best sinker in baseball, the best core, activating his core. Best core in baseball. Like, who claims the best core?
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I guess he worked out really hard.
Best midsection. Like, he has the best...
Yeah. Like the best abs? Best abs?
Yeah, like best abs and all that. But who takes claim in any sport, best core?
Dude, that's part of his mental makeup. For him to convince himself that he's going to perform, he has to tell himself that he's awesome.
Okay, tell yourself that.
Are you shocked by that?
No, I'm not. And it's even more flamboyant because he's in New York. It's his first spring training with the Mets. So, you know, he showed up halfway through the season. The Mets were a tire fire. Right. Everyone knew he didn't really want to be there. He thought he was going to the Yankees, or he wanted to go to the Yankees.
Right.
So now it's a fresh start. I get it, but...
I don't think he understands, like, not to exclude you from this, but if me and Jamie were his teammates, we'd go back to our hotel room and watch that and be like, is this guy serious?
Right.
Like, are you serious?
Right. That's what I'm
saying. And it kind of just puts you in a spot where you go into the lounge and have a coffee. You're like, I'm not sitting beside that guy. I can't listen to that garbage.
I think in the room you would be like, you know, you go, guy takes off a shirt. I'm like, there's the best core in the league.
Make sure you activate that core today.
Like, I would actually, like, you could make fun of him.
Yeah, that feels like he's setting himself up.
You know what I do? I go to Walmart and I'd buy one of those fake T-shirts that have the abs on it, like the old ladies wear in Florida. And I would just hang it in the stall and say, there's your abs, buddy.
Yeah, his nickname would be like Corsi or something. Like, it would become a joke.
Mm-hmm. The Activator.
The Activator, yeah.
Constipator and the Activator.
But all you do is you shine a light on yourself, which is fine. But you set yourself up for people to hate watch you.
Well, I don't think he's walking back and laughing with the boys.
Right.
You know, like, I don't think he's getting off the stage and being like, you got to see what I, you know. Like, you guys know I'm just messing around
here. He's dead serious.
He's dead serious. And that's what I'm saying about Stroman. Like, I don't have anything against Stroman. He's never done anything, you know, outrageous or whatever. It's almost like someone needs to get to him, though, and, like, have confidence. Exude confidence. That is a luxury in pro sports. You know, being confident, you have to have it to succeed. But just scale it back a little bit so we don't have to talk about it. Because you know someone else is going to go up to him, like his catcher. And do you think he's got the best sinker in baseball? What's he going to say?
Maybe Jacob DeGrom does, his own teammate, his guy, the ace on the staff for the Mets.
Well, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. Like, everyone...
Well, even his teammate... If the teammate believes he has the better sinker, you're in the dugout looking at this guy going, are you for real?
Yeah. Like, just an ounce of humility, I think, would go a long way.
It makes you unlikable. I'm telling you, it makes you unlikable. A lot of his, I'm sure he's a fantastic person, but a lot of his comments make him unlikable. And that's sad, actually. Like, if you have to fake it to make it, go ahead. Like, say those comments and all that, but eventually it comes back to bite you in the ass.
Yep. Well, he's in a different league now, a different market. He's bringing all his old hits, man. That's what I'm telling
you. Same old nonsense.
Yeah. Scotty Mitchell will join us, our Jays reporter from Dunedin, in about 20 minutes. And we'll get into the NBA All-Star game in the next hour as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, we'll head down to Dunedin in the next hour, get you an update from Scott Mitchell on
all the workouts they're doing.
All the workouts going on down there. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. has a bunch of videos online. Scotty Mitch posted one earlier today. Out there shagging balls. And he looks like Vladdy. Like, it, you know, from afar. And I don't know. Well, I guess we'll get an update on that. What's up with Vladdy? And he's not officially set to report until Monday, I believe it is. But he's been down there for a long time. And I haven't seen anything from Biggio or Bichette. But I would assume they're probably down there. Not that you have to be, but and get an update on Reese McGuire, because I guess Ross Atkin spoke with the media today and said McGuire at some point is going to speak.
Right.
Try to explain the old parking lot maneuver and
the incident.
The incident, yeah.
How's that transaction go down? You're just kind of doing some business, and a guy comes and knocks on the window and goes, you can't do that here?
No, I think kind of what... It was in the afternoon, too, which...
That's tough,
man. That is a tough maneuver. So it was in the afternoon in a parking lot.
What does the time of day have any...
Well, it's daylight out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not... Like, when you expect weird stuff to happen, weird stuff does happen in society. You think it's 2:30 in the morning. Yeah. No one's around. Yeah. I'm sitting here, you know, I'm on a break.
Yeah. It's like the Seinfeld episode.
Let's get after it here. Old Reese at like 2:30 in the afternoon. I guess someone walked by and was like, okay, that's an interesting move. Called the cops, and the cops showed up, and the move was still going on. That's my understanding.
I just don't understand. I mean, and by the way, this guy might be going through something. Who knows? But why not the couch?
Well, that's the whole thing. Why are you in the car in a parking lot? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm sure he has a hotel room.
Like, yeah, of course he would. He might have a place down there in Dunedin. You know, he's not locked in on the roster. You know, he kind of had a coming out party last year, but he's got a hotel or something. Like, the team's putting them up somewhere down in Dunedin.
So once this blows over, this guy's going to have some nicknames and some stuff, like signs around the league, like...
Well, that one is a tough one to get away from. Like,
it is.
A scuffle or something, it kind of blows over after a week, but...
Yeah, that one's tough to explain. That one's really... There's no explanation for it.
No.
Like, you're in the car, and it's daytime, yeah. You're in a parking lot in public.
Yeah.
Like, just...
Twig and berry out, middle of the day.
Yeah. Find yourself a room, pal.
Not happening.
Yeah, so we'll see what Scott Mitchell has to say about that. This is going to be a big year, though, I think, for... Fans, you're right. Like, if Reese McGuire, I don't know if it'll be a big enough, like, international story.
Right.
Like, I don't know if he rolls into L.A. to play the Angels and people are like, oh, I've been waiting for this guy to show up. I got a great sign.
No, they're waiting for the Houston Astros, not Reese McGuire.
That's one that is going to be fascinating to see.
They are going to get heckled.
They are going to get heckled. And I don't think teams will be allowed to do this because I think Manfred and company are going to be like, smarten up. Let's try to move past it. Because Manfred is in the firing line himself because of how incompetent he's been.
They're allowed to do what? Like game ops and stuff?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like game ops. Wouldn't it be great if you had a giveaway? Like Houston's in town and you're giving away
trash cans. Yeah.
Like, do you know how many companies would pay for that?
It'd be awesome. Why can't you do that, though?
Because baseball's not going to allow. You can't really have trash cans in the stadium. I mean, where are you going to put them? But
people always have those hand things that...
The clapper.
The clappers, the rattler. Why couldn't you have a little trash can with a
trash
stick?
Can clapper would be, I think, a brilliant idea. And if someone manufactures that idea, brings it to life, I would happily buy one of those. Because I think they're here in May, I want to say, like early to mid-May. They're here from Monday through Wednesday.
I want to go to that.
I'm going down.
Yeah.
I guarantee you
You're
going to
go down there?
Absolutely,
Are you
going to
be yelling and screaming like a lunatic?
Well, not necessarily, but I kind of want to pick up on what the vibe is like.
I just want to get the vibe. What's going on in this stadium?
So how would
this
go down then if you're trying to get into the stadium and you've got a trash can and a stick?
I don't think they'll
let you in. They're not going to allow you.
No, there's security measures.
But if there is a souvenir one, I think you can make a plastic one.
I don't. They better allow people to protest in their own way.
Sure.
You know, you better not be on high alert MLB security, telling people, you know, throwing people out because they're yelling too much, or like there's no sympathy for this Astros team.
If that guy in Tampa hasn't been thrown out, the guy that just yells the whole game, then no one's getting thrown out.
Yeah, I don't know if he's still there anymore, but like Hinsky was his number one target. Remember Eric Hinsky? He would abuse Hinsky. They'd be down there for a four-game series. This guy would be yelling at Hinsky the whole game. Hinsky's in the dugout.
And there would be eight people in the building, you heard. It was like the guy was talking to you.
You could hear everything.
And he would just beak him?
Hinsky was his guy. He hated Hinsky. And Hinsky became a Ray at one point. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.